It's Total Spot Fest. Party time. Excellent. We got a lot to go over. We got Journey Pro. We got New Japan. We got Impact. We got Rampage. And we talk about something that was boys being boys. This is Total Spot Fest. One, two, three, four.
And welcome to or welcome back to Total Spot Fest. I am JJ Brownlee. He is Jamie Faulkner. We are coming back to you with another action-packed wrestling roundabout. Lots of wrestling on the menu. We got the pleasure of enjoying yet another Journey Pro KC show this past weekend. Plus AEW, the amp up for Grand Slam. There was a mini pay-per-view. I don't know what to call these, like Impact, like they're not the big ones, the little $10 jobbers, but they do them like three every 3 weeks. I don't know.
What do you call them?
An Impact pay-per-view. We'll call it an Impact pay-per-view. We got a couple notes about WWE, surprisingly enough, and news out of New Japan, all sorts of stuff. We're going to get to it all. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. If you are watching us on YouTube, hello. Thank you. We do appreciate it. You want to join the conversation, hit a comment down below. While you're down there, go ahead and press that like button. And, you know, you can do the subscribe too if you want to hear more. It does help us out quite a bit, honest to God. If you're listening to us and you want to join the conversation, you can holler at us on Twitter at Total Spot Fest. That is where Jamie gets in Twitter wars with local talent who won't do lion tamers. So.
Very true, but I did get a response, so I'm excited. I did.
You did. So, all right. Well, Jamie, we got a lot to go on, man. Yes. How you doing so far?
I'm doing good. It's been a fun week so far.
The week has just started, too.
I know. Actually, I cannot wait for Grand Slam. Cannot wait for Grand Slam. That is going to be
Grand Slam is going to be amazeballs, and we're gonna talk all about that. We'll get into it over the next couple of episodes. So on Thursday, we're going to give you the Dynamite Grand Slam, and then of course Rampage Grand Slam's happening on Friday. So next Tuesday, we'll really talk a lot about that. We're not going to do a separate show or any of that jazz. And FYI, this weekend is the new promotion in Kansas City. It's happening down in Overland Park, for those of you interested. It is, I believe it's 7 p.m.
5:30 is when the doors open. But I think
5:30 is doors. I don't know when bell time is, though. Maybe it's 6:30,
something like that.
It's an earlier show, yeah. But it's happening at like 151st and Antioch?
Sure.
151st Street. In Overland Park.
Yeah, get yourself some
Dynamic. Chocolate. Yeah. Dynamic Wrestling Federation. It's looking less and less likely like Jamie's not gonna be able to make it. He's got a homecoming to, I don't say chaperone, but you know, the Megan not all four belts has a homecoming to go to. Yes. And you gotta do the dad thing, you know, so
yeah, I got to make sure I put the fear of God in some young teenager and, you know, that to do the picture thing. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Then I got driver.
Yeah, she got a new boyfriend or just some rando?
Well, they're not dating, nothing like that. Just talking. They're friends, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, I guess that's the thing now. Like, I don't. Whatever, dating's changed since I was a kid, so I don't fucking know. Just whatever you do, don't.
It's a 15-year-old boy who gives a shit, right?
Don't try to stick your dick in my daughter, or it's getting cut the fuck off. That's all there is.
I just totally ripped my arm off of my.
I mean, I'll rip their arm. I'll rip their arm off. Yeah, see.
You projected through to me there, Jamie. Your rage, so
maybe a protective father.
I pity for this boy. All right, so rest in peace to Megan Three Belts, not Four Belts. Date. Don't fuck up, kid. Let's talk about some wrestling. How about that? Yes. That'll take your mind off of things. So if you are interested, if Dynamic Wrestling Federation tickets still available, I'll move to $25. I may still be going. We'll see. To honest to God, this is my only criticism. They have not promoted this for crap.
Yeah.
I'm saying this with love to the people that run Dynamic Wrestling Federation. Anybody that's involved with them, I generally want there to be successful promotions in Kansas City. And when I first found out about this was at 78 Weeks Later, and it was all amped, and we go online, it's great, and we got tickets, and that's the last I haven't seen anybody tweet about it. Mm-mm. I haven't seen any Facebook mentions. I haven't heard people talking about it.
Yeah, like
I don't know what's up with that. That's weird.
We instantly followed him on Twitter to see what would happen. I think they did an interview with a local podcast called the Spanish Announce Table, and that was it. And that was the only thing I've seen, and that was like a month ago, and there's just been nothing.
Right.
And I would hope they would do better, you know. And it's their first show, so they're learning. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah.
We mean this with all love. We really do. 100%. We want it to be successful. And I don't know. But if you are interested in some wrestling, there's one going on. It's an indoor show, an air-conditioned place, too. FYI. Just throwing that out.
Friday night was nice.
Well, let's talk about Friday night, because it was nice. It was unique for me personally. I haven't been to this type of show. I've seen plenty of them on, like, IWTV and the internet and everything, you know, the setup. But I really enjoyed, I had a blast. And it was so chill, too.
Yeah.
But it was great.
The atmosphere was awesome. The place we went to was really cool. It was in the middle of a baseball diamond, literally, like, the middle of the stage is on the pitcher's mound, which I thought was really cool. In the middle of the ring, I'm sorry. And they had the wrestlers basically coming out of one of the dugouts. It was really, really cool. The whole setup was great. We brought folding chairs. They had chairs all the way around. It's the first show this so far since they've been back where they've had chairs on all four sides, which I thought was really cool. And
they had a
rider truck in the outfield. Not a rider. They don't like rider. U-Haul.
U-Haul. Yeah, fuck rider. Yeah, that's U-Haul. Right.
And you know that's where they were doing the recording for the IW TV. You know, the Internet Wrestling.
There was some technical issues where they couldn't have streamed. And you know, we talked to Walter. He did feel bad about that, but you know, they had to bring a generator out there just to even run the PA system, and then there were some other technical issues. You know, first time doing this type of show, they did. So they weren't able to stream on Twitch, unfortunately.
But so let's just talk about the show at this level. It was 100% a word of mouth show. 100% word of mouth.
Yes.
And it had a killer turnout. I think there were more people. There are definitely more people than Blip, for sure.
I don't know. I counted around 200-ish people, give or take.
Which is more than Blip.
I think that Blip was about the same.
Then the next show was 250. So
next show was almost 300.
Well, with talent, it was 300. You can only get 250 tickets. I do remember that. Or they opened up 270. Sorry, 270. So it was about the same.
Because they had, because the thing is, there was a portion that he had held back for people who had previous tickets before.
That was for Blip.
Okay. Well, for Blip, and I believe there was some for Weekend as well. Anyway, Weekend at Journeys was the biggest of the three. Sure.
Yeah, it was definitely the biggest of the three. But
this is about the same as Blip. I think it was a smidge smaller.
I think it was a smidge bigger.
It was close. It was very close. It's hard to tell because Blip, you're in a confined space, right? And we packed it, but it was a confined, smaller space. This here, we're on a baseball field and we're spread out.
Yeah.
So it's hard to gauge that. But it was a surprisingly good turnout for what it was, a word of mouth free show in Edwardsville, Kansas. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it was, again, 100% completely free. And then if you wanted to, you could donate to the Wyandotte Center for Behavioral Health, which I know JJ and I both contributed. Not to toot our own horns.
Absolutely. But just,
you know, we want to be helpful in the community because this is the thing. We love professional wrestling. This Journey Pro loves its community. So we want to also show our love to the community as well. Because, you know, we do love Kansas City for as much as shit as some people give it. We love it. But, you know, it's one of those things. It was a nice way to give back. And
Absolutely.
The show was really fun, and it had a lot of good stuff. So I posted some stuff on my Instagram, and I also posted it on our Twitter account. So if you happen to follow us on Twitter, at Total Spot Fest, you'll see the some of the videos and highlights I put up there. So there was a couple really big pieces I really wanted to cover in this. The first thing is you talked about the vibe. It was just a fun, chill vibe. There was not that rowdy, ruckus feel like everybody's intense. It was more,
which I think was fine, right?
Yeah, you know, I enjoyed it. It was a Friday night. It was a long week. Everybody's just kind of ready to relax and watch some fun wrestling, and they delivered the fun wrestling. Like JJ Garrett. You know, his match was so good, you know, and then you had Lainey Luck, Sarah the Rebel, and Christy Janes, which that match was phenomenal in itself. And they also brought the funny, and they had comedic things, and they were in the beginning, Lainey Luck and Christy Janes were trying to do the lawnmower together, and Christy Janes falls over because the damn lawnmower lost a wheel, you know.
Lawnmower got away from her. That's for, you know.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen her be like comedic like that. Most stuff I've seen her has been just more just straight up seriousness. I mean, I did see her get murdered on over this past weekend. I think on Sunday night she had a match where Gringo Loco murdered her. Ooh. So there was that. Yeah. follow her on Twitter. It's pretty funny. But yeah, it was good. It was cool. So where we were sitting, we poached up, you know, and we had an idea that they might come right by. Literally, they came out of the dugout and walked right past us. So every one of the wrestlers was just like giving us fist bumps as they walked by, or, you know, head bangs if it's Warhorse, you know. It was cool. We had the perfect spot.
It was a great location for us. The highlight of the night for me was the co-main events. The co-main events were amazing. So the very first...
Oh, before you get there, I do want to say, Dallas Cade was cool. Did not do a Lion Tamer like you asked him to. Warhorse rules ass. And I can't remember the name of the guy Warhorse was fighting, but they were great together. I liked him too.
Yeah.
Kevin Koo.
Yeah, Kevin Koo was great.
He was so good. So anyway, and there's a bunch of other good stuff too. But yes, co-main events.
So the co-main events, you had Jeremy Wyatt versus Kenny Alfonso. And Kenny Alfonso is a local homegrown talent who is going to be a mega star someday.
So over.
I love this guy. And he's got talent for days. And that's the beautiful thing about this guy. He's got talent for days. And he's going to end up somewhere big sometime in the near future.
Oh, yeah. He's got a very Leo Rush-esque stature to him.
Yes.
He's a little bit smidge taller, I think, but he's around like Leo Rush size and status. Very, you know,
less
but
acrobatic.
Less acrobatic, and he's a little bit. Like I said, he's a little bit bigger, a little bit not a lot, but maybe a couple inches, you know, bigger than him. Yeah. So not quite as acrobatic, but if you saw him, he'd remind you a lot of Leo Rush because they're similar, and he keeps getting better every time we see him.
Oh my god, yes! For real. And him and Jeremy Wyatt put on a show.
So good.
Like, we had submissions from both of them. We had a lot of things, and there was this point I finally got it. It finally happened, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so proud of myself. There was a lull in the crowd, and it was funny because people know me, and Jeremy Wyatt was in there, and it got quiet. And I'm like, Lion Tamer. Lion Tamer! And he just stopped, looked back at me, he's like, would you shut up about the damn Lion Tamer? I'm just like, yes! Yes! Vindication! It happened.
He didn't tell you to fuck off, though, which was one of your two goals,
He doesn't really cuss.
He's good, which is fine, but, you know, I mean, you know, to be fair, he just pokes the bear, so he's just gonna get more
the
of
thing,
it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Now he acknowledged that I said it to him. Now I'm not gonna stop until it either happens or I do in fact get him to tell me to fuck off. That's all I'm looking for, folks. I'm not asking for much.
You're like a dog that gets attention when he chews up a shoe. He's like, ooh, I get attention when I do this. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a very, very good analogy, sir.
I was happy to at least get you got the response there. Yes.
Then there's the main event.
Oh my God, this main event.
So this main event was amazing. So it was Gary fucking J and Christian Rose versus the Howlets of Anaya and Hoodie Howlett. And my God, this match was amazing. It started
not just the match, everything around it, like the pre-match stuff that Walter did, the whole bit.
Yeah, so yeah, let's get into that. So at the beginning of the match, because the Howlett's interfered in the Ticket to Ride, and both Gary J and Christian Rose were eliminated, they decided to give each Journey Pro decided to give them each one ticket to do the Ticket for a Ride. But Christian Rose is like, you know, I've done a lot of messed up shit since I've been in here, which if you've ever been around Journey Pro, you know, that is an accurate statement.
He has.
Yeah. So he ripped up his ticket and didn't want to do it. And then at that point, here come the freaking Hallis bum rushing from behind, just banging everybody. Actually hit, Walter took a bump, which I thought was great.
He took a bump. It was great.
He fell down and got, you know, just infield dust all over him. It was just, it was fun. But then the match was a Falls Count anywhere. It was just no DQ. It was just mayhem. So they start, and literally within the first 30 seconds of it, they're out of the ring fighting in the crowd. And the crowd was hyped. In it, they knock over my chair, and they almost broke it. Which, fun fact, this is one of my favorite things. DJ goes over and goes, "Man, I might have to buy that person a chair." It's like, "Oh yeah, this is ours. It's fine." He's like, "Oh, it's your guys's? Oh, it's broke when it got here. It is broke. It was hilarious."
Yeah,
just giving a shit about
sure,
it.
Sure, DJ,
which I thought was hilarious.
That was funny.
But they did, in fact, break somebody's lawn chair, which was like an old school lawn chair, which I loved.
Like the old, like, webbed, you know, straight up folding. Yeah,
it was amazing. They broke that. The Howlett's, for some odd reason, were trying to climb the fence, like, right behind home plate, which...
I want to talk to Anaya about that, because so we were kind of over it. Basically, where our seats were was on the third baseline, about halfway between home and third, if you want to put it in baseball terms. Maybe a quarter of the way off of third. That's about where our seats were, give or take. So the Howlett's came in from right field, you know, into the ring, and that's where it started, and it immediately spilled out into all the side that we were on. Okay,
instantly.
So that's where it started, and then they migrated over to our right, which was basically the home plate area, and they break the chair, they do those, have to do chair spots, they do spots, more spots, and then Anaya goes, "Let's get out of here," and they're standing right by the fence, and they start climbing the tallest part of the cage fence behind home plate. Like, climb the shorter, but walk around the side. It's like, what are you doing?
But everybody knows wrestlers cannot climb cages. They just can't.
Oh, I understand why, but I just thought it was funny because it's like logic left them for a minute. And you're sitting there like, that's not smart.
No,
what are you doing? No.
But the spot of the night, 100%, and this is on our Twitter, and you need to go find it. But the Howlett's and Christian Rose are fighting out by the U-Haul, and then Gary J just kind of disappears.
Right, which we called at the beginning of the night, like
you did
before the show started. I called it. I'm like, they're going to use that truck in the main event. It's Falls Count Anywhere. I want to see them fight inside or some. I want they're going to use that truck.
Well, as Mark Stradamus foretold, Gary J climbs up on top of the U-Haul and does a tope suicida onto onto Christian Rose, Anaya, and Hoodie, and it was glorious. I have a great shot of it from my. I'm like doing this like it's a camcorder, but it's my freaking phone. Whatever, it was amazing. And Anaya and Hoodie won. And I, of course, is like, oh my God, we need to interview these guys because everybody and their mother loves them because they are aggressive. They give two shits about anything. They come out to El Chapo for one. And like, they just, which because of them, I put that on my playlist because I have a Journey Pro playlist. Audrey listened to that. And for the longest time, she always would hear that song because that was her favorite song because of the woo, woo, woo. You know, in El Chapo. So, yeah, I have to tell them that story. But
That's his 7-year-old daughter, for those of you who are not aware.
Six.
Oh, she's six still. Oh, whatever.
Yeah, that time, going down she wrong was way. About 4.5, 5. I mean, I'm starting them young with the music that has curse words in it. But so I have thrown the gauntlet. I'm inviting him to our show. I'm hoping that happens. I would love to have the opportunity for JJ and I to listen, to be able to speak to them, listen to some stories, and for all of you to hear from arguably some of the best independent wrestlers out there in Hoodie Hallett and Anaya. Mm-hmm. Those two guys are so damn good. Yeah. They play the crowd so well. I have mad respect for Hoodie. Please.
Well, both of them too. Oh, I mean, 100%. Hoodie, and you know, we heard from Dallas when Dallas was on our show a few weeks back, you know, that Hoodie has been kind of, you know, he's involved in the development of some young guys too, and he's been meant a great deal to his, you know, Dallas's development and his, you know, early beginnings here and being a professional wrestler. Anaya is based, I don't know if he's based out or he's from, I think he's based out of Denver, right?
Yeah, I think either he's based or he's from there, just like Hoodie. Hoodie was originally from the Denver area as well, I believe.
Right, as was Dak Draper, yep. You know, but, and Anaya, you can go watch online. He, a few weeks ago, wrestled Effie at a Denver promotion that they had as a Lucha Libre and Laughs. They have a YouTube channel. You can go watch the video. The first 2 minutes of the sound are terrible, but then it gets fixed. But it's great. It's basically if you bought a drink, you just wasted money and gave them a prop sort of match. They're just going through and awesome. You know, Nia picks up some fruity drink, grabs it, and spits it in Effie's face, and Effie spills a beer, and you know, the match was great. And just, I mean, it's like the range is more there. It's not just a Kansas City tag team, right? Which is there, that's fine, you know, but because they're great at it, but mm-hmm. they've gone and they're doing single things, they do, you know, tag together again. They're just a fantastic group. They are the reason we have created the hashtag that we will get trending somehow, some way, of hashtag heel shit.
Yes, 100%. They are the quintessential heel shit. They do all the heel shit moves that Jamie loves. As we all know, I'm a heel guy, and they are everything I like about heels, like 100%. Like, they ask for a guy, like, I need a beer. And Anaya goes, I need a beer. I need a beer. And this guy pulls out a fresh, cold Busch Light from their cooler, because it's also BYOB, gave it to him, and he opens it and just starts pouring it out.
He fakes a drink and then pours the whole thing out. It was so good. Like, oh, and then he does the Sandman thing at the end. And
it was great. But yeah, so they did all the heel stuff you could ever want.
Right.
Oh, they're so damn good. And so the next show has not been announced yet, but we may or may not know the date, tentative date.
They announced the date, didn't they?
No, they did not. They just told us in passing.
Then we're not gonna. Yeah. Sorry, guys. We're not spilling those beans. Then I remember hearing it there at the show, but I did. Never mind.
Yeah.
It's in October.
Yes, is in October, at some point in October. I just want some kind of break. I'm sorry. We've seen a lot of wrestling in person over the past
We've been going hard and heavy.
Yeah.
Since the week before All Out.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to just a little hard break. And heavy. So, honestly, I'm not upset that I'm not going to DWF. Just to be honest.
I hear you. I empathize, and I may still go, but Journey Pro, great show. Everybody there seemed to have a great time. They're definitely it was a cool crowd too. You know, everybody was just, like I said, very chill. There were a few kids there, but mostly adults. Yeah. You know, there's one adult who definitely had a case of Bud Light and a case of High Life, and he had probably most of them because he definitely did not know Jeremy Wyatt's name.
Yeah,
champ. Kept yelling,
"Let's
champ.
Go, champ!
Come on, champ!
Let's go, champ!
Champ! Yeah, champ!" After about like 13 of those, I go to Jamie. Goes, he has no idea what his name is. He does not know in the slightest bit his name.
Yeah, no. And the thing was too, one of the coolest things too about this one was we got the chance to meet new people, you know, because we usually see the same faces and everything at the shows. And it was really nice to meet some new folks around there. Like, finally got to meet Bird Girl, who's a friend of ours on Twitter. Follow her at Bird Girl KC. You know, she was very nice, very pleasant, and excited to be there. And just like all of us were, you know, we got Lucha Chris was there. Like, you know, we got a few new people there, too, that we were able to talk to.
Sure.
But yeah, it was just a fun atmosphere. I love Journey Pro because they are just putting on a quality product, and it just feels like a sense of community. It's different. Like, I can't explain
it. It very much is. And I know that Walter and DJ are trying to get, get my back scratcher out here. I know that Walter and DJ are trying to get a permanent home, which, let's be honest, it will serve them business-wise very well.
Yeah.
But I kind of like this different show variety thing we got going on here. We had three shows since we've come back from, you know, total coronavirus world, and three very different shows. Take out the sweltering heat and the air conditioner or whatever. You had a show in a trendy little coffee shop, right? Not little, but yeah. Inside of a trendy coffee shop, right? That was interesting. And then you had a show at a really great, like, outdoor concert venue in the middle of the day. Okay, that's a little different. And then we had a night show at a ballpark, you know, in a ball diamond out in the different vibes, but still the same company, and keeping storylines going through it all. Says wonders about Walter, DJ, and the rest of the Journey Pro crew, but I just love it. I think, you know, I don't know, in the upcoming months here, they'll ink and they'll get that deal. They'll figure it out for that permanent home, right? Or that home base, if you would. Let's not call it a permanent home. But, you know, I kind of like this different show thing going on. It's interesting.
Yeah, no, I love it. And wherever they go, I go. As easy as that. If they have a home, I'm cool at home. If they want to be nomadic and go around so we can meet more people around the Kansas City area, I'm down. Whatever they want to do, I'm basically at this point, ride or die.
Well, that's a great way to end it. Actually, no, I got a better way to end it, because at the end of the day, this wasn't about money or anything. This was indeed about doing something bigger than themselves. Mm-hmm. So they announced on Twitter, I don't have the exact figure in front of me, but it was around $1,850, if I'm not mistaken. $1,850, is that right?
I have that total. It was $1,685, I believe. I just had it. I literally just had it in front of me.
There was an 8 and a 5 in there somewhere. I know that.
Oh, shit. I just had it, guys. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm scrolling too fast now, because I left their Twitter to go look at something else.
I have their Twitter pulled up here. So the total number was,
I guess we're 1,600.
Over $1,600, so.
Which is great. And if there's only 200 people there, that tells you
how much. I don't know the exact numbers. Doesn't matter. $1,685.72. There you go.
That's right,
All right. Who gave 72 cents? Come on, guys. Who gave 72 cents?
Maybe they just gave everything that was in their pocket, man. Like, you know?
I mean.
I gave them everything that was in my wallet. I did. Gave them all.
Okay. I hear you, but that's a little odd, but whatever, it is what it is. So, all right. So that was Journey Pro. We will give you more info when they announce the next show. You sure follow them online at Journey Pro KC. I'm sure that usually the Tuesday after, so tonight, usually Walter gets on and does kind of a post show, little quick Twitch stream thing, you know, you gotta talk to the people. So, at least he has the last couple times. They might not. I don't know. But follow them on all the socials. Stay up to abreast, and you know, we'll be getting an announcement sometime soon here for our the October show, which is going to be full steam ahead for these tournaments, because at Die Hard 2 is also a Christmas movie. Great name.
Absolutely great name.
In their December show, they're going to have the finals for and announce the champions for their heavyweight and tag team championships. So next month's going to start, and there's going to be a lot of setup and lots of tag and singles matches in the tournament. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we already know some people are going to be there because they got tickets to ride already. We're going to see Heidi Howitzer again.
We're going to see the one called Manders. We're going to see Kenny Alfonso.
See Kenny.
Who's going to get 100%. The title. He deserves it. Get that title.
Yep.
Team Alfonso.
Yep.
For sure.
Oh, Team Alfonso. So we will keep you abreast of that. Let's do, before we get into the other bits from this past weekend, you have numbers handy, Jamie, for the last week?
I do. I really do.
Every time.
Hopefully somebody's watched Pitch Perfect and like at least appreciates this little bit of terrible humor. All right. So let's just go ahead and start. Let's start with the mega Goliath that has fallen on hard times, if you will. And that is Monday Night Raw. They had to go against Monday Night Football for the very first time. And what did they do? 1.670 million, down from 1.849. Ouch.
1.67.
Ouch. That's all I got to say about that.
Ooh. Ooh.
That one hurts. That's right in the McNuggets, ladies and gentlemen.
That's unbelievable.
Then we have NXT. Funny thing, NXT is the only show that went up.
That's NXT 2.0. Officially, that's what it's called now.
Okay.
I'm not kidding.
I know. So NXT got 770,000, which is up from the 601. They are the only show that actually turned a profit, basically, on viewership.
Makes you feel better. You can attribute that to one person. You'll like this.
Who?
Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
Shawn Michaels ran NXT 2.0 last week.
He did? Interesting.
Yeah. So it's good to know that him and Triple H are still kind of involved. Him, at least. You know, Triple H has got... He had the heart surgery, right? You know, get better, Triple H. So reportedly, Shawn Michaels is the one who ran the show on Tuesday. So there's that.
Interesting. AEW did go down, but they did not go down terribly. But they were still the number one cable show in the 18 to 49 demographic, which they were down to 1.175 million, which is down from 1.319 million. So a little bit over 100,000. So 125,000. So it's not terrible.
Yeah. Not terrible. This week's going to be fucking massive. I just can see it, you know, with what they got going on in the New York show. And like you said, they beat Raw in the key demo again. Because there's a lot of argument, because we do these numbers every week, right? And there's lots of arguments even within the industry. You know, what matters more? Big number or the demo? Which one matters more? Well, depending on who you listen to, you get both answers. Mm-hmm. People like Bishar are like, demo's great and all, but you want the total value. That's the important thing. And then you listen to people like JR and stuff that are like, the total number's great, but you want the demo because that's where the advertisers look at.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think they're both important, but the demo's kind of the, you know, doing newspapers back in school and stuff. Yeah, the advertising makes a damn difference. So,
yeah.
You know, they beat Raw again in the demo, so kudos.
They sure did. They beat the shit out of them, too. Impact, down for their go-home for the...
Victory Road,
thank you. Their baby pay-per-view. Their BPPV. Ah, there you go. So it went down 105 from 111, so 6,000 people. So not terrible. It could have been worse.
I mean, they're doing similar to AEW. They're staying around. You know, they had a couple of dips there randomly out of nowhere, but they're staying. You know, somewhat relatively in the same wavelength. So. New TV deal. We say it every week. New TV deal. Mm-hmm. Please.
So, SmackDown went down too. Barely, though. Like a skosh. Like legit. So, they were at 2.19 this week, down from 2.217. So,
200,000, give or take?
27,000. 37,000 people.
Oh, yeah. That's,
for them, that's nothing.
That's insignificant. Peanuts. That's insignificant.
But Ramp...
I mean, staying above 200, that's the important part for Fox.
Yep. And then Rampage went down as well. They were at 642, down from 670. And it's just because they're so late, and it's just a terrible time. They are getting 2 hours this week for Grand Slam. I really want to see what happens with that. I'm very interested in it.
If I'm not mistaken, I think they're on an earlier time. We'll confirm on our next episode.
Yeah, we'll have the official card what's going on.
Yeah, we'll go over the whole thing. And here's the thing, is that the demo is still good for Rampage. And, I mean, let's be blunt for a second, okay? 670, 640... That's what Dynamite and or NXT was getting, you know, 6 months ago.
Yep.
Each. So, hey, if this is your secondary show and you're doing that, I think they're perfectly happy with that. That if they stay around this, if they go up 700,000, I think maybe the sweet spot, you know, they'd like to see the TV that network that is. But you got to think as well right now, what else is that? It's going up against college football because you got college football on Friday nights as well.
That's true.
So you're pulling 640, 670 against college football at 9 o'clock on a Friday.
And Friday Night Lights. I mean, football season is in full motion for high schools as well.
The whole nine, yeah. You got high school, so you got people that aren't watching TV, period. There's college games that are going on. I mean, that says something that they're pulling these type of numbers, even though they're at. All right, well. Those were numbers. We'll give you more updates, like I said, on Rampage and everything Grand Slam related on the next episode. Before we get to that, I want to talk about other, like, actual pay-per-views, because this past Saturday was Victory Road. Victory Road is a long stable worth of a TNA Impact pay-per-view title. They haven't had every single year. You know, there's a few dark years there where they were down to like two or three pay-per-views in total. And it was, you know, post Billy Corgan and Dixie and all sorts of legals and whatever. But anyway, so this is kind of like you said, the second tier pay-per-view, if you would think about that. Very similar to like WWE, for example, has a pay-per-view this coming Sunday. I don't know if you knew that or not, but they have Extreme Rules. Ironically, it has no extreme matches. There's no stipulation on any match as of the recording of this podcast for the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. I'm not making that up. That's a legit statement. So, Jamie just... I think I broke Jamie's brain.
That doesn't... What?
That's like having the lockdown pay-per-view that TNA used to do where it's all steel cages and having no steel cage matches.
That?
Yeah.
What?
There's no... Yeah, I have it in front of me here. As of 11 o'clock Central Standard Time, Monday, September 20th, there is a singles match for the Universal title. There is a singles match for the Raw Women's title, a singles match for the SmackDown Women's title, a triple threat match for the United States title, a tag team match straight up for the SmackDown tag titles, and then Carmella versus Liv Morgan. Not one single stipulation has been announced for any of these matches.
That's insane.
Apparently a tables match stipulation was discussed for the United States title bout. Quote, but it remains to be seen if WWE will add that stipulation later this week. I didn't want to dive down this hole yet, but yeah, how do you do that? So
how do you have a pay-per-view called Extreme Rules?
Extreme Rules.
And not have
or any you don't have any extreme rules.
It's like having the Royal Rumble without having the Royal Rumble. Or Elimination Chamber without an Elimination Chamber match.
It's ECW One Night Stand without anybody from ECW. I don't know. This is the world that we live in for WWE. This is why Jamie and I don't watch WWE anymore, because of this.
It doesn't make
sense. Put a pin in that. We're gonna circle back to that. I do want to talk about something else WWE related later on. Okay, so let's go back to Impact, because Victory Road was legitimately just fantastic. And if you haven't watched it, $10 on Fight TV. I mean, That's two coffees at Starbucks, or one coffee at Starbucks if you get one of the big fancy fuckers, right? So there was a lot of good stuff. They're setting up a lot of things, Impact in general, for next month. Next month is Bound for Glory, and no matter what, because they kind of flux their pay-per-views a little bit, there's two major ones that they have. They usually have at least three major pay-per-views, but two are set in stone. No matter what, there's Slammiversary and there's Bound for Glory. Okay? Mm. They always have those. Destination X, Victory Road, Lockdown. These used to be the other kind of like big ones, and they're kind of more fluid. But for sure, you have Slammiversary and Bound for Glory. Bound for Glory is next month. Ironically enough, it's on the 23rd of October. And that night, AEW has a Saturday Dynamite. Interesting.
Saturday Dynamite?
I'm sure it's due to probably the NHL season starting.
Oh. Or is it a Saturday Rampage?
Saturday Dynamite.
Interesting.
They have two Saturday Dynamites because they don't move to TBS, I don't think, until the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And NHL regular season starts in October. And Warner Media has the deal to have Wednesday night NHL on TNT. So I don't know off the top of my head, but maybe the rest of the year after that, the Dynamites will be moving. I hope they move into TBS sooner. Yeah, I think fall programming starting up soon as well. I don't know. I'm not a network executive. I don't know all the ins and outs, but I do know that Bound for Glory is on the 23rd, and there's a Saturday Dynamite as well on the 23rd, which is going to hurt the buy rate, I think.
I agree.
Unless there's some cross promotion, get that buy rate for like a replay view, but it's going to hurt. So they're setting up a lot of stuff for that. Now, this card was loaded. I'm just going to go through the card and give you the results. There's a couple little notes I want to talk about. So you started off with Steve Macklin versus TJP versus Petey Williams. So keeping the Steve Macklin and Petey Williams, you know, thing going on, add TJP to it. This match was awesome. This match was so cool. At one point in time, Macklin took both TJP and Petey Williams and put them in a double trio woe on the same turnbuckle and then did a running, diving, like shoulder tackle into them while they're both hanging there. It looked great.
Interesting.
It looked so good. It was very good looking. Macklin got the win. Then after that, you had the sleeper match of the night. I didn't even know this was a match, honest to God. But there was a five-man scramble with Trey Miguel, John Skyler, who I believe now is the official part of Impact's roster. Yeah. Black Taurus, Jake Something, and Laredo Kid.
Ooh.
Yeah. This match, because you've got the big bruising, you know, Jake Something. You got Black Taurus, who's the big.
What's his name?
Black Taurus.
Didn't know the guy before that.
Jake Something.
What's his name?
Something.
Thank you.
You hate that. I do. You're making me do that. Because you hate, I don't care, you hate it. Jake was at the GCW show we saw in Chicago, and the first time he did it, I just heard Jake go, oh,
it's like
through it.
It's like, come on, man. I get that you're so proud of your name as Something, but like, man, you gotta have something else.
It's a good gimmick to do if you don't hear it 8,000 times. And that's the thing I think that I got
burned out
is that every time we see him, the time it happened, we saw it. It was actually the post Gary J. Hoodie Howlett last match. They then had Jake Something versus Jeremy Wyatt, which was just the wrong booking to do for that night. Mm-hmm. And the whole entire crowd was so spent that Jake just kept doing that over and over. This is an hour long match, you know, because that's Jeremy Wyatt's forte. And he just kept, and by the end of it, Jamie, now he cannot hear that and not cringe. So
yeah, because he started saying it towards the end. I'm like, who cares?
So this match was awesome. It was so good, as you could expect, you know. Trey Miguel and Laredo Kid going at each other. I want to see that all the time. John Skyler looked impressive as well. He's making the most of the opportunity. Black Taurus seemed to get back into shape. He had a little bit there. Maybe he's just getting a little overworked going back and forth between AAA and Impact. So he looked really good. Laredo Kid ended up getting the win with this. I'm seeing here, you know, if I have notes on how to describe it, because okay, it's like they didn't call it a Spanish fly, but so instead of being next to him, it was against Skyler, I believe. So instead of being next to him on the top rope, he was in front of him, but he did the same thing that you do in a Spanish fly. It's kind of like a German suplex, moonsault, Spanish fly combination. So he did the Spanish fly thing, but instead of landing next to him with your arm around their neck, he landed basically on top of him and then pulled the leg up to get the pin.
Interesting.
It was interesting looking. It was very interesting looking.
So was Laredo fly?
Sure. It'd be a Mexican fly because he's Mexican. I don't know. It was very. They kept calling it something else, but whatever. It was cool. Then after that, you had Danielle Dashwood versus Taylor Wilde. You know, Taylor Wilde had Jordynne Grace and Rachel Ellering in her corner. Danielle Dashwood, of course, had her other members of the. What do they call themselves? It is the Influence.
Yes.
NXT 2.0, that's how you do that style of name. Like, whatever you called Mandy Rose's stablemate.
Yeah, violent attraction.
It's terrible. You look at basically the similar thing that's done in NXT, the Influence. I mean, that's a good stable, you know. So, this was interesting. Everybody eventually gets kicked out, and Taylor Wilde wins. Then you had Rohit Raju versus Matt Cardona in a no disqualification match. They've been feuding a lot over Rohit, you know, sliding Chelsea Green. I do find it interesting you had back-to-back the best unofficial women's and unofficial men's nicknames in wrestling today. And Thick Mama Pump, Jordynne Grace, and the Mocha Skin Manimal, Rohit Raju. I just love saying those nicknames. They're fantastic.
Yes, those are great.
Hey, Cardona got the
fun fact about Matt Cardona. He actually went to the doctor on Monday and had a piece of glass removed from his back that he got from his GCW death match when he won the title.
He won the title.
Yeah.
He's had a death match and other months of wrestling since
July. He's had this piece of glass in his back since July.
It's.
And yes, yeah, it is for wrestling's- sale.
Wrestling, of course it is. Of course it is. Oh my god! So yeah, but wrestling's fake, right? Yeah, sure. Cardona ended up getting the win, assist by Chelsea Green. And after that, you had the Bullet Club.
Nice.
Chris Bay and Hakuleo. Oh god, I can't pronounce
it. Hikuleo.
Hikuleo. Thank you. Versus Finn Juice. And this was entertaining as hell. You kind of wonder, it's like, how Bullet Club is Chris Bay? Well, this match proved he's very Bullet Club. He did a sneaky kind of, like, chair shot behind the ref's back for Hikuleo to get the victory. So he's very Bullet Club.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Yes. Bullet Club gets the win. And then after this, you had the match, which is... I mean, okay. This wasn't the best wrestling match of the night. It was... close second, in my opinion. Well, Jesus Christ. So, there's three matches that were amazing. This is the first one. Okay, of the three, it's probably number three. But yeah, Sami Callihan and Eddie Edwards versus Moose and W. Morrissey. So much story intertwined in this. It's just so good. If you don't know what I'm talking about, take a moment, go on Impact Wrestling's Twitter or their YouTube. Just look at some videos of them, because they have weaved a lot into this with these four guys. These are four guys who are main eventers that legitimately are just nowhere near any title right now, and it doesn't matter because this story is so good. They've intertwined two separate stories into one story, and actually they have two additional stories amongst that are possible within there. What I mean by that, Eddie Edwards versus W. Morrissey, that whole feud's been going on for a bit, mm-hmm. right? And you have the Moose versus Sammy Callahan on again, off again, allies, enemies thing that's been going on for a little bit. Sammy Callahan, Eddie Edwards, if you don't know and you're living under a rock, had that match a few years back when there was a spot involving a chair and a baseball bat that was botched, and it was a baseball bat directly into the side of Eddie Edwards' temple. And it was not a good thing. Sammy Callahan did that. And they've kept that angle kind of alive and going. And there's this, they're not friends, but they're an alliance of Moose and W. Morrissey, which I could see this falling apart in the most glorious way with those two in a match.
100%.
I mean, Moose and Morrissey. Oh, yes. Yeah. So this match was violent in all the good ways. You saw all the good stuff there. The part of the match that when things could turn. So Alicia, who's an Impact talent as well, she wrestles a little bit, not nearly as much. She used to wrestle a decent amount, but she wrestles occasionally. She's kind of a valet and a backstage personality sort of thing. She's married to Eddie Edwards, you know, no fake, real life, legitimately married, right? She's at ringside, and they have this kendo stick, because like Sheeta, they have their kendo stick, and they have a name for it. It's a whole thing. It's a whatever. She throws it in the ring, and, you know, and he goes, and they're going to use it, and this and that, and the ref's trying to stop him, and then Morrissey, who's on the outside, goes over and picks her up, puts her on her shoulder, and threatens to throw her into the ring post if Eddie Edwards doesn't get rid of the kendo stick. Like, I'll do it. You know, so he begrudgingly gets rid of that, then gets kind of hit by Moose, and, you know, Morrissey puts her down, and, you know, a little back and forth this goes on. They take care of Sammy Callahan, and then they get in the ring, right? So Sammy Callahan's now in the ring. Eddie Edwards is now on the outside. And Morrissey, on his way to the ring, stops, goes over, picks up Alicia, and throws her in the ring. And you're like, what is this guy doing? It's 2021. Is he really going to do this? So he steps up in the ring, and she's all like, oh, shit, scared. Turns around, and there's Moose standing there. And you're like, nah, Moose can't be involved in this, can he? He takes her, kind of puts her hand on the bat, on her small, on up on her shoulders. Like, it's okay. And he just pushes her towards Morrissey and then walks back. And Morrissey does a power bomb of her dead center of the ring.
Ooh.
It was. Ooh. I mean, it's very Attitude Era-esque. You know, you wouldn't expect to see it. I think that, especially considering, you know, everything in this day and age, what Morrissey has gone through in a personal life since his WWE days, it's interesting that they did that. But they did it, sure as shit. And of course, that led to Eddie Edwards taking her. I'm sorry, Sammy, I got to. He takes his wife and walks her, you know, carries her out. And then Sammy goes in the ring, and she's just a fuck it attitude. And he goes up and he loses. So, interesting things being laid there.
100%.
Just gonna say. It was worth a go look. You can definitely they have clips of that on Impact. So now after that you get the Knockout Championship. Decay versus Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans. The Decay retains on that. That was a pretty entertaining match. Sure. Then you get the Good Brothers versus Rich Swann and Willie Mack for the Impact Tag Titles. Good Brothers retain as well. I don't know. I'm ready for them to. I don't know. It's like there's a decent tag team division in Impact Wrestling, but I feel like they have, you know, just a handful that they're actually utilizing. So I don't know. It is what it is. The good thing is that led to the two matches of the night, the two main events. So your first one, I say this wasn't technically the main event, but this was the best match of the night by far. No surprise. Josh Alexander, we know and love the Walking Weapon, versus Chris Sabin for the X Division title. And oh my God, this match was unbelievable. Mm. Like, legit, just so good. Everything. I'm not going to go over all the spots because we don't have the time for it. But this match was just off the charts. The two of them put on a hell of a wrestling show. Everything there was. Josh Alexander ended up retaining the title, though. And then the interesting part, though, is that afterwards, mutual respect, they shake hands. Chris Sabin pulls him in and then whispers something into his ear, to Alexander's ear. They give a hug and then leaves the ring. Think about, remember that. So then you had Christian Cage, the Impact World Champion, versus Ace Austin. And this match was great as well. It was not quite as good as Alexander versus Sabin, but very good match. And, you know, you had a little bit of Madman Fold sneaking in and kind of messing up. That's why maybe it wasn't the best. But at the end, Christian Cage ends up, you know, after the confusion, gets the kill switch or the unprettier.
Thank you.
For the win. Yes. So he won. So that's your pay-per-view. But wait! So something that was brought back, it actually started with Austin Aries, was a thing that was done every year at Bound for Glory. He was given the option, because he was an X Division champion at the time, and he was given the option to either defend his X Division title or go up for the, I can't remember exactly what the two options were, but the third, he's like, I like both those stipulations. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invent option C. Option C is that I forego my X Division title with it bound for glory. I go up against the World Impact World Champion. So you basically get you jump the line, but you have to give up your X Division championship. And that became an annual thing then. It's like, will the X Division title cash in option C at Bound for Glory? I don't know, for the past couple years they've been doing it, because we have not been as religious watching Impact in the past couple years. But we know what Chris Sabin told Josh Alexander. Hey, there's a thing called option C, bud. Because he came out to meet Christian Cage in the ring and exercise option C. So he's relinquishing the X Division title at Bound for Glory, October 23rd, Josh Alexander versus Christian Cage.
Ooh. I want Josh Alexander to win that.
I think he'll win. I do. I think that's how you get the belt off of Cage.
And you get back to Impact people.
Keep it in Impact. I think that's how you keep it in Impact, and then Cage can come back into AEW. You also get a new X Division champion, which, I mean, Trey Miguel, Chris Bay, I mean, Laredo Kid, Rohit Raju. You've got contenders all over the place that are just screaming for that. But I think that's how you get the belt off of him. That'll be interesting. That's how you do a good pay. And this pay-per-view was just great all around, flat out. Like I said, go to Fight TV. $10. Buy this shit. Watch it. It was good.
Yeah. Sounds like the end was worth it. It sounds like the end was worth the $10 alone.
Well, not even that. I mean, the five-man scramble was fantastic. The opening match was good. The women's matches were all pretty good, too, you know? Yeah. I mean, there wasn't a lot of drama. You didn't have any titles change hand, but you had a lot of great stuff. Yeah, that moment with W. Morrissey, you're like, what the hell? He just power slammed the women a third of his size in the ring. That's insane that happened in 2021. And the last two matches, especially that Alexander match, all the stuff with Alexander has just been gold lately. Like, he is the face of the company, I think, now. I think he legit can be. That's why I think he'll take the belt off Christian.
I like it. I like it a lot.
So that was Impact. We'll talk more about Impact next week as well. Friday night, the night before that, we were at Journey Pro, but there was another wrestling show on TV that was not based out of Stamford, Connecticut. AEW Rampage. Mm-hmm. So, Jamie, let's tell them a little bit about Rampage, because I have thoughts and things to say about this episode.
For me, Rampage was really, really good. But The matches were great. They're actually really good. I think all the matches were top notch.
There's three matches on Rampage. Yep. It's an hour long. All three of these were good matches.
But the promo.
Ooh.
That's what made the show. And you know what? You know what? I'm going to let you talk about it. Because you know why? You know who's in it?
My girl Ruby. Hey, Ruby.
There you go. Teed you up for it. All right. So
yay.
We'll go ahead and start with the opening match. And this one was a banger. Certified. Butcher and Blade versus the Lucha Bros. Man, I can't talk all of a sudden. This match was hella good. It had everything you want. Butcher and Blade know Lucha Bros incredibly well. Huh?
Butcher looked great. His first, yeah. It was not his first action, but first big action.
Yeah, he looked like he hasn't missed a day. He looked better. I think he looked even bigger.
Yeah, he's missed about 25 pounds, that's for sure. He looked ripped. He looked good. Yeah,
I mean, he wasn't more shredded than Julian Saab, man, but he was all right.
Oh, that's Blade.
Yeah, that was definitely Blade. So this match has everything. The ending of it was actually really cool. So Blade ties Penta's mask to the ropes, and then they start beating the hell out of Rey Fénix. And they're getting ready to set up Rey for their finishing move. I have no clue what it's called.
I don't remember. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, so Penta just rips off his mask, does a super kick to the Butcher, and allows Fénix to roll him up 1, 2, 3. The Lucha Bros retain while Penta is maskless, covering his face.
He's doing this the whole time. Yeah, it was. This is twice now in championship matches that Penta has sacrificed himself for his younger brother.
Insane, right?
Is this a trend? Is this a storyline? Just saying.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No. I'm right there with you. So after the match, though, Private Party and the rest of HFO come out to attack the Lucha Bros. Here come, out of nowhere, Santana and Ortiz.
Super interesting.
Very interesting.
For one big reason, but for another as well.
Ball. So This one, I'm going to give my thoughts on this. It sets up, obviously, Private Party, the HFO is going to go against Lucha Bros and Santana and Ortiz at Grand Slam, I believe.
Right, Rampage Grand Slam, I believe. Yeah. Right, that's a little interesting part.
That's a little interesting, but I think the bigger overarching interesting thing is we are going to see Santana Ortiz versus the Lucha Bros, and I am here for it. Yes.
You missed a word in there.
What?
Again.
Again. Yes, sorry.
Because these guys, back when Santana Ortiz, for those of you who don't know, when they were LAX, these four had a series of matches in Impact that just tore the roof off. I mean, they just, every one of them was just a bloodbath battle. Not a bloodbath.
Yeah.
But, you know, just a battle back and forth. It's, oh! Yes. You think it's going to be a full gear payout for these four?
I would hope so.
I think so.
You get FTR versus Santana Ortiz for the straps.
You think that Lucha Bros will drop Santana Ortiz?
Maybe.
I don't want to see him lose that soon.
I don't either, but kind of makes sense, because then it gets FTR in the title hunt again.
Gets them back in the title hunt, but that also gets the Bucks back in again, and then eventually you got Bucks versus FTR again. And then do you just go cyclical? Do you pull, then you got Bucks versus Lucha Bros? I mean,
yeah, or you know, will Jurassic Express be the dark horse who finally gets one?
And then, you know, Dark Order post Hangman return. I mean, they got to be. So I would love to see them legitimately, even though I don't want to see Lucha Bros drop them anytime soon. We were both there. You saw me. I was dancing in the aisle like a 12-year-old schoolgirl when they won.
Oh, me too. I went nuts.
We all just went bonkers, our whole section. I would love to see them do what they did back in the old Attitude Era days. Just bounce those titles around. Four or five teams. Bang, 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 bang.
I'm cool with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Not at all. Not at all. I'm not a big fan of long title runs. I'm not. I like seeing fresh faces with belts. Because for me, more times than not, it's always about the chase. You know, Becky Lynch, she was at her best with the man gimmick when she was chasing. It was always about the chase. Well, she got it. It's like, oh, she's got it. Okay.
And her new gimmicks, I've only seen little bits on Twitter, and it just is terrible.
Yeah, well, it's like her original one before everybody started liking the man. Like,
oh, no.
It's worse.
It's worse. It's like she's wearing like these outlandish outfits, and it's like the man, but Hollywood eyes now. It's bad.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
It's just bad.
So after this, we had a quick little interview with Kenny Omega talking about Bryan Danielson, saying he was the underdog there, you know, where he was and all this stuff. And Omega vows that this Cinderella story won't have a happy ending. Whatever. It is fine. So after this, though, we get the Bunny with Penelope Ford versus Anna Jay and Ty Conti.
Yay.
This match started with a bang. Like, legit, Anna Jay looked like she was punching Bunny in the face in the beginning. I'm like, oh, shit.
I know, right?
But again, it's great to see Anna Jay on our TV screens and in our living room. She looked absolutely phenomenal. It was a good match. It was a quick match, but it was a good match.
It was storyboarded real well, too, because they were going after the shoulder. Even though it wasn't the Kinesio shoulder, it was obviously the other one, but she'll Bunny immediately going after the shoulder, working it. You know, Allie, who's the Bunny?
Yeah.
Allie doesn't get credit. She's an accomplished wrestler. She's worked really hard over the years to be where she is now. So yeah, the two of them going at it. It was a legitimately good on you for expanding that women's division. And I'm gonna put a pin in that too.
Yeah. So it actually ended up with a roll up by Anna Jay on the Bunny because Penelope Ford tried to interfere. Then Ty Conti got her. And then they were able to get a roll up. She tried to go for the Queen Slayer, but she got the roll up. Whatever. Anna Jay is victorious. After the match, Ty Conti tries to make the save after Penelope Ford comes out there. Penelope Ford hits them both with brass knucks, setting up for more funness with them later on.
Which I'm good for.
Yeah, I am too. I think it's a good little feud, and
it helps all four of them. You know, exactly. It does. It gives them all airtime.
So after that, you have a quick little powerhouse Hobbs promo about CM Punk, whatever. Then Matt Hardy's pissed, whatever. saying that he's going to shave Orange Cassidy's head, and then he pulled out some plant.
He pulled a fan out of the stand. That seemed like it's a guy like Jimmy in my size, yeah. Right? It's a larger gentleman that is in like Orange Cassidy cosplay, and they cut and then his ponytail and then shave the sides of his head.
It was weird.
It was odd. It was odd.
Yeah, then Orange Cassidy just walks down to the ring while they're doing it. Like, didn't even run, just walked.
It's like, this is obviously a plant, but come on. He's getting his hair cut in the middle of the ring. Come on, dude.
All right, so then we get to the moment that JJ has been waiting for. We have a promo of the women's world champion, Britt Baker, DMD, versus Ruby Soho. So they are in there talking mad trash to each other, setting up for Grand Slam. And JJ,
this is the promo that I've been waiting for, not just since Ruby Soho had showed up in AEW or since she had been released, but I've been waiting for her for a while because, you know, I remember people say, hey, what's your thing with Ruby? Is it just a tattooed girl thing? I'm like, yeah, in part, you know, yeah, sure. But I legitimately just dig her. I've always been into different things that are different. You know, my house is a mid-century modern house. It's not a big, not a fancy one, but I specifically looked for this style of house. There's not a ton of them in Kansas City. I moved blindly to an area just because of the house. Cause it's like, it's different. It's not just your cookie color stuff. Right. I like cars that are off. Right. I'm big in like 80s and 90s cars, weird cars, like single cab trucks that I'm the only one in America, I think, that does. You know, I'm into different things personally. And when I saw Ruby and, you know, NXT briefly, and then, you know, when she debuted on Raw or whatever on the main roster. I was like, that's something different. Yeah. That's not a 5'10" big tit and blonde hair. And it's like, that's a different thing. And she can wrestle. She's got hella skill. And I just kind of dug her. And then I saw her like other stuff or like behind the scene things. And she had a YouTube channel for a minute, which is supposed to be coming back. And I was like, this woman is legitimately like a chick that I would we'd be buds. We would go down to the bar together and hang out sort of thing, you know? So I was just like, I've always been a fan of Ruby. And I feel like she was so underappreciated because if you remember back, she was really given one chance to have the mic and run with it. And it was during her Natalya feud.
Yep.
And she did that killer promo. Was that in Kansas City where she did the whole, like, eye thing? The whole fake, like, she was going to cry around Anvil? Because Natalya's dad had just died
not too long ago. I don't think it was Kansas City.
I don't remember. But, yeah, it was going on around the time when they came to Kansas City and we saw him. But she did that one promo where she came out to kind of address her actions and how she knows that it was so sad because she knows, you know, the bond that a woman has with her father and all these things. And then she pauses and her eyes go up and she just, like, has this smile on her face as she flips and turns into just, like, Viper mode. And most of the crowd of WWE shows are like, oh, where's the tits at? We don't care about this. So it got lost in the shuffle. But I thought it was amazeballs, right? So we finally get some of that because we give Ruby a mic and give her a chance to be free. And honest to God, this whole thing was fantastic. From the start of it, you know, there's this whole, like, kayfabe storyline going on with Adam Cole and Tony Schiavone. You know, they're brought into the thing, but Adam Cole's keeping it going. He's keeping this storyline going online, you know, yeah. Digging into Schiavone about trying to get with Britt and everything like that. And Britt's oblivious. Oh, no, it's fine, you know. So they're playing that. And then Britt comes out, you know, and then Ruby comes out. And but big pops for both, right? So they're in the ring. It's a face-to-face. They're going after each other. And Britt starts being like, Ruby, welcome to airtime. You know,
that's so good.
Another dig at the whole, like, not being, you know, stuck in catering thing. And then they start going at each other a little bit here and there. It's kind of light jabs, if you would. And then Ruby's turn. Ruby then says, here's the thing. You remind me of every woman that I've faced off with. oh, my God. So good. You remind me of every woman that I've faced off with recently. Entitled, self-centered, and banging some dude in the back. And the crowd is in Newark, by the way. The crowd went apeshit. Not just that. Here's the part that I love the best. Jericho and Taz on commentary. They lost their shit just as much as the crowd.
Yeah.
And you could tell that was unscripted, some of it. They're like, holy shit. Yeah. They're just going at it, you know? And then Britt, of course, then volleys back. And it's like, yeah, whatever. You know, at least I'm not a liar. You come out here and you lie to these people, call yourselves a runaway. You didn't run away from anything. You were fired. Like, just back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. And you know, to wit, Ruby then goes, you know, she's surprised that you can see anything, being that you have your head so far up Tony Khan's ass.
Yes, I love that.
And for what it's worth, Ruby won this promo 100%. I mean, it was a good fight. It was a split decision in the 10th round, and Ruby ended up pulling ahead. The crowd was definitely over. They're trying to do a back and here's the part that I found interesting. They're trying to do a back and forth chant because there's always the question about if a girl like Ruby could be over, you know, in today. You know, Britt is definitely like the face of the company, right? Mm-hmm. Sure enough. And the chants were, at one point they started a back and forth chant, and it was much louder for Ruby than it was for the DMD side of things. So that's going to be a fun match, and I'm interested to see them do longer form story with this. You know, they can keep this. You know, I would love to see, like I said before, Britt, Ruby, hey Ruby, and Thunder Rosa. Have the three of them just go at each other.
Oh, that'd make me so happy.
Yeah, sprinkling a little Tecate every once in a while. Here comes Penelope Ford, and she comes in, you know, Anna Jay, this and that. You have Nyla Rose. But the heart of the matter is if you have those three, they could just go at each other. You get Britt versus Rosa. Then you got, you know, Britt versus Ruby, and Ruby versus Rosa, and then a triple threat match at some point, which will tear the roof off. Half of this show was dedicated to the women's division. Finally coming around. Mm-hmm. I legitimately will say that.
Yep, I agree. So after this, we have our main event. And this is going title versus car match.
Title versus moderately priced used car. Yes.
Fuego del Sol versus God's favorite champion, the Redeemer himself, Miro.
Who before the match had the line in the promo, the terrible Mark Henry, you know, interview which Mark Henry is actually not going to be on commentary anymore. He's going to be doing the promo, but he won't be on commentary desk for Rampage. Thank God. Miro said, and I quote, "I love celebrating my victories with my God up high and my wife down low."
Dude, it's so good. The crowd ate it
fucking
up.
Fucking Miro. The
crowd ate it up so hard.
Fucking Miro.
So this match was really good. It was really good.
It was not a squash in the least bit. It was
definitely back and forth. Fuego looked good, but he's going against Miro. And as much as I wanted this to be the moment, like Fuego, because he is one of the most over men in all of wrestling, to get it, he didn't. He got those crazy ass kicks in the face, two of them, the two like pump kicks that he does. It's like a pump super kick.
Yeah, they used to call them the Machka kicks WWE. Yeah. I don't know if they have a name here.
Well, they're devastating. And one thing I can say, Fuego sells the shit out of him because it looks like they connect every damn time with him. Fuego loses his car. So in typical Miro fashion, he celebrates by shoving the keys in Fuego's mouth, and then he does the acolyte, game over, onto Fuego. And bells ringing, and he's just not letting go. Cue one Sammy Guevara. So Sammy comes in, yes, hits a knee strike on Miro, then Miro runs out. He leaves the belt in there. Sammy picks it up. Kind of like almost very similar to how the belt was laying in there for one Christian Cage that pissed off Jamie a whole lot because he was only there for 10 minutes. Well, this one's a lot different because he has not been there for 10 minutes. He's been there since day one, and he is over right now. And this is a great time for this feud. Sammy Guevara versus Miro. Yes.
And it's time for Sammy to get a belt.
Yes.
I think this is the right call, too.
It's the right opponent. Like
right belt,
everything. So we'll see.
I mean, yep. And ironically enough, that was twice it happened in the same night too. Because after Ruby and Britt had their little thing, they scuffled a bit, and you know Ruby had the upper hand slightly, and Britt left, and Ruby picked up the belt and did the same thing. So who knows? I'm all for Sammy and this feud. I mean, I want to see stuff like Brian Cage versus Miro for the title. I sure do, right? But I think the belt on Sammy makes a lot of sense. That opens a lot of good booking doors. And the TNT title, too, I think can have a little bit of leeway as well. So
I agree.
Interesting note about AEW. One thing that I wanted to point out, because we know next week is the Grand Slam. So we got 2 hours on Wednesday night in Arthur Ashe Stadium, 2 hours on Friday night, same place. They've biggest crowd. There's still tickets to be had. A few tickets to be had. Over 17,000 going to be there. It's going to be bonkers. Tony Khan has said he wants to make Grand Slam an annual thing, right? kind of like how they're going to do their New Year's show every year in Jacksonville, whatever, end of the year. They're going to do it at Daly's Place. He wants to make Grand Slam an annual thing, right? Which now that they've been doing this for a few years here, they're starting to get a couple of, like, inroads, right? All Out's going to be in Chicago every year.
Yep.
That's cool, right? He wants to make Grand Slam a definite thing every year. Cool, right? A couple other little bits, and I'm like, I like all that. That's cool and all. What I don't like is that Fightful Select reporting that Full Gear is going to be in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
So the writing's been on the wall. We talked about this before. You know, Jamie's been pleading to the wrestling gods to have it stay in Missouri. Hope, you know, to come to Kansas City would be ideal, but at least stay in St. Louis. It's not. It's, you know, Tony Khan had basically said that it's not going to be in St. Louis anymore. They don't have the arenas. They can't do it. With moving it a week back, it just killed that thought.
Yep.
So, unfortunately, for us, unfortunately, going to be in Minnesota. Minnesota in the middle of November.
That sucks.
I mean, that's cold.
That's cold.
I have family up there. It gets down to single digits in snows and on Halloween. So I'm just saying. But the note I wanted to say here, because I know you have one more thing you wanted to talk about. The note I wanted to say here was that in December. Nope. Yes. In December 8th, which is a Wednesday. So maybe that whole NHL thing's not every day to the end of the year. Wednesday, December 8th, AEW is going to be doing Dynamite along with Rampage taping at the new Islanders Arena in Long Island, New York, the UBS Arena. That is not the first wrestling show. It's going to be at that arena.
Oh.
On Monday, November 29th, WWE is going to be there for Raw at the same arena. That's going to be the first available wrestling event. So, now's a good time for us to actually compare the brands. Because we talk a lot. The media, the IWC has a lot. There's so many trolls out there that are just one or the other, right? You know, this whole thing. But there's a lot of talk about this. So let's look at some empirical data. Jamie, you're a data guy. You like the data.
I do.
So these are roughly a week apart, these two events, right? As of right now, as of Monday, the 20th of September, WWE Monday Night Raw has a ticket capacity of 7,398, give or take. The available tickets, or the sold tickets, the tickets that have been distributed thus far, is 2,365. A little over 5,000 available.
Okay.
That's a 32% sell rate, if you would take off their capacity and what's been distributed. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, AEW has a little bit higher capacity. And a lot of that has to do with the stage size.
Yeah.
Yeah, take Vince McMahon, enter Vince McMahon joke here, right? Okay, so their capacity estimated is around 8,800, 8,851, right? Tickets distributed, 6,167, with available tickets being 2,684. That's a 70% distribution rate. So to recap, for these two shows that are currently for sale, happening 1 week apart, Monday Night Raw sold 2,400 tickets. AEW sold 6,200 tickets in the exact same arena.
Interesting. Hey, data don't lie. That's one thing about data.
The data is there. Not only are they beating them in the key demo, they're beating Raw in ticket sales. So I thought you would enjoy that. Empirical data? Yeah. We'll be more. You had one last thing you wanted to go over. Do you want to talk about that whole bit?
G1?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
we have New Japan news, too.
Yes, we have New Japan. New Japan had the first rounds of G1. So, the G1 is, so we had night one and night two. So night one was Block A. And Block A, for all those who don't remember, was Shingo Takagi, Yujiro Tanahashi, Takahashi, Great Okan, Zack Sabre Jr., Toru Yano, Kenta, Tetsuya Naito, Kota Ibushi, Tonga Loa, and Tomohiro Ishii. So, to recap real quick. Night one, Yujiro Takahashi defeated Kota Ibushi.
Ooh, bit of an upset, I would say.
100% a big upset there.
just a little upset.
Because, yeah, like, we all agree, like, the two people are going to come out of the singer are going to be Okada and Ibushi, and here you go. Ibushi,
yeah, it's got to be Ibushi, yeah, right.
So he
yeah.
gets 0 points. Great Okan defeated Tonga Loa, which I thought was also impressive.
Okay.
Toru Yano defeated Kenta. Not surprised there. Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Tetsuya Naito. Another surprise.
Oh, okay. Sabre's been on fire lately, though. He really has.
Shingo Takagi defeated Tomohiro Ishii. So that was night one. So couple surprises there. Let's just be honest. But again, you know, it's a point system. For any of those who don't know G1, it's a point system. So you basically round robin your block, and then once you have the people the highest get seated, and then it comes into a night tournament.
It's like Olympic pool play for basketball or hockey or soccer or World Cup, same thing. You're in your little pod, and then you advance in that. Yeah, so it's similar to that.
Yep.
Remember, New Japan is the sporting aspect of professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Although I say that, and they're the ones who invented, you know, the, you know, barbed wire death match. But I digress. Keep moving. Yes.
All right, so night two, that's Block B. And Block B has, for all those who don't remember, Okada, Jeff Cobb, Evil, Sanada, Tachi, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Yoshihashi, Hiroki Gato, Chase Owens, and Tama Tonga. So,
okay,
this
Evil loss, I'm gonna lose my shit.
This one definitely did not have the upsets.
Okay,
so Evil beat Yoshihashi.
Okay,
which he better have.
I'm just gonna say,
Sanada beat Tama Tonga.
Okay, sure.
Tachi beat Hiroki Gato. Okada beat Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Oh, well, those two going at each other.
Yeah.
Alone worth the price of admission, but yes.
And then Jeff Cobb beat Chase Owens.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, fun fact about Jeff Cobb over this past weekend, his faction grew by 2.
I saw this.
So, Will.
This is New Japan adjacent,
yes,
because it didn't happen at a New Japan show, but it involves, oh, please tell them. Please tell them. This is great.
So at a Rev Pro match.
Rev Pro is a British promotion that is partially owned or put on, whatever, by Will Ospreay,
who is the leader of the United Empire. He has now added Aussie Open to his stable, and that is kind of amazing if you ask me.
If you don't know who Aussie Open is, it's well worth a Google. They're considered to be quote unquote the hottest free agent tag team on the whatever,
it's,
you know,
Kyle Fletcher and Mark Davis. They have the most common English names of all time,
very much, and they're both obviously Australian.
Yeah.
But they are amazing. They were the, was it PCW? I can't remember. There was something, the Australian tag team champions. And they did a title versus title at this pay-per-view they did for Rev Pro. So they're now the Rev Pro champions as well. And Ospreay's got his IWGP Divas Championship, which I'm not going to lie, the belt's starting to grow on me a little bit, okay? It is, a little bit. I still not a big fan of it, but it's starting to get there, Jamie. But he has his IWGP title, which he technically is not. And he had a British Heavyweight Championship for Rev Pro. I think he pretty much made for himself after he took over. There was another British Heavyweight Championship. That's the top top title because it's a British promotion. So they had a unification match and he won that. So these guys are draped in gold. Mm-hmm. And the scene was, it's some great visual imagery. Go look it up online.
Yeah, it was beautiful. So all of, they're holding up their belts and Ospreay is holding a belt in his mouth. That's not, yeah, it's,
yeah, he had the IWGP belt in his mouth and the other two in his hand.
It's visually stunning. Like, it is just a beautiful thing. And I mean, the United Empire is keeping growing. It could go head to head with one Bullet Club. We'll see.
I mean, you've got those three plus Cobb plus that other tag team who I can't remember their names.
I can't think of them either.
They're very nondescript, but it's all British. You made this point. You love the name of it because it's all British and Australian, potentially New Zealand, you know, all former British Empire places. So it's the United Kingdom, United Empire, the British Empire. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Big fan of the name. Big fan of the name. If they have, as soon as they come out with a badass shirt, I'm buying it. Because
there's got to be one sometime this week on Pro Wrestling.
There better be, because I mean they're hot right now. So I finally got my freaking CM Punk shirt.
You did, and you're not wearing it. That's surprising the shit out of me.
I wore it the day I got really excited. I just haven't watched it.
I got you there. I'm still waiting on my my notice that my Ruby and Adam shirts have been, Adam Cole shirts have been shipped, and it's gonna be, I checked today, it still says processing, so it's gonna be
a bit. It is gonna definitely be a hot minute, because I mean I just got that shirt and I ordered it the day after he came.
Which is about a month, if I'm not mistaken, it's about a month ago that happened.
Yeah, it took a long ass time for me to get that thing.
Not terrible, considering they had a million orders.
Yeah, that's fair.
Anything else from G1?
No, there's nothing else. Daniel Garcia is gonna have a match against Jay White, which is just at New Japan Strong in Texas at Autumn Attack. Like, this Daniel Garcia guy is just facing everybody. And like we've talked about him, like the boy could wrestle. He's really good. It's just like, he's getting dream match after dream match.
He's getting super push. And like you said, we like him. We met him as, you know, not meet me, but we saw him at FanFest and at, what's a who's, it's the side party and All Out, but it's just like he is all everywhere. And it's just like, here's my thing, it's like, for a guy that's very nondescript, generic looking, and I don't mean that in a negative way, please don't take that in the wrong way, but he's very, you know, looks normal looking, regular guy, right? Mm-hmm. He's got good talent. He's not like Ray Phoenix, amazeballs, you know, or anything like that. He's not a big bruiser. He doesn't do, like, he doesn't have like a sharp gimmick like a Darby Allin or anything like that. And this guy is getting all the push everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, make of that what you will, and tell us what you think, because we're a little confused by this, to be honest with you.
100%.
Push, yeah, give him a push. This much of a push everywhere, though? I don't know why that is, but you guys let us know why you think that is. Why is Daniel Garcia Fuego 3.0? I mean, he is like, he's making Fuego look like a scrub, you know, and he's like the most over man in AEW, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't answer that question. Give us a comment down below. Give us a tweet at Total Spot Fest. Let us know what you guys think. Why is Daniel Garcia getting this push, and does he deserve it, in your humble opinions? Well, there's Jamie's thought on that. All right. One final thing before we sign off here. Did you watch Dark Side of the Ring?
Yes, The Plane Ride from Hell. I absolutely did.
I actually have not watched the episode yet, but I've seen enough clips of it to basically watch the entire thing
was on YouTube. I watched the entire thing.
Right, I haven't gotten around to it. There's been too much other stuff. So Plane Ride from Hell was the topic of Dark Side of the Ring this past week. Plane Ride from Hell was an infamous flight where I mean, lots of alcohol and other substances were consumed. Yeah, I don't remember where they were traveling from. I think it was like there was, it wasn't a transcontinental flight.
Yeah, they're coming from London. They're coming from England to Stanford, Connecticut, Stanford,
which is not a short flight, and that one you can easily detour halfway through. So yeah, you're stuck on this plane with a bunch of wrestlers that have just gotten just wasted. And the moral of the story of this is Scott Hall did not come out looking good. We knew he had demons at the time. Not surprising, but yeah, it was not good. Ric Flair, very much the same thing. And even further. I don't want to get into details of it because that's not what this is about. But very bad thing, sexual assault type of things, right? And then at the end of it, the other person who looked bad from this was Tommy Dreamer, who was on the flight. And basically, during the whole interview part of the documentary, did a whole boys will be boys thing in reference to Ric Flair pinning a woman, you know, back in a corner and doing the helicopter and whatever else. You know, that's Rick being Rick. Mm-hmm. And the fallout was swift and furious. This is 2021. So this is, it's kind of what I said is interesting about, you know, what, you know, W. Morrissey did to Alicia Edwards, because, you know, this stuff is generally frowned upon a lot more now than it was back in the day. Back in the day, I'm like, oh, fuck it, whatever, who cares, right? Now, we have responsibility as a society, I think, more, and, you know, like, hey, make them pay. And hey, they did. You don't see any Car Shield ads anymore with Ric Flair on TV because they are pulled. Tommy Dreamer's been indefinitely suspended from his role in both Impact Wrestling and Busted Open Radio. Mm-hmm. And just the fallout. What are your thoughts here on the episode, on the fallout? Rick and Tommy? Give me some words yeah, here, Jamie. What do you think?
The thing I'm struggling with on this one is you have one person who allegedly did, like, pinned a woman to a wall and tried to get her to touch him and things like that. And he's not getting crucified near as much as a guy who was defending him, saying, oh, he would never do that. And, you know, everybody wants to see the Ric Flair show. Like, I think the problem was Tommy Dreamer is so dismissive of it. Like, it's like, oh, whatever, it's not even a thing. And I think everybody attacked that because it's like, dude, take it seriously. Because it's 2021. That kind of stuff you absolutely need to take serious. Like, I have daughters in my house. And if somebody mm-hmm. did some of that shit to my family, oh, it'd be game on. Like, I would want to, like, hurt somebody. And it's not okay. And for him to dismiss it, you know, it struck a chord, you know, with me as a father a little bit, but I still, like, okay, I appreciate you trying to stick up for your friend, but why is everybody focusing their energy on you when they should be focusing their energy on the monster that tried to attack somebody? Like,
monsters. So Scott Hall was involved.
Well, Hall licked her face and he didn't do anything else. He just got completely wasted. Like, I watched the entire thing.
It's still pretty bad stuff.
Yeah. Like, she tried to wake him up.
Tommy literally just did a boys will be boys thing.
Basically. And he's paying for it, man. Like, boys will be boys. Well, fine. Well, this boy is not going to have a job anymore.
I mean, he should pay for it. He should. And he apologized to his credit, you know. But, yeah. I mean, he's out of all his jobs right now, and then maybe forever, probably not. Eventually, he'll come back.
Right now, it feels like right now everybody's attacking Tommy and not Rick, and they should be attacking both. But I feel like, and I definitely agree with them attacking Tommy. I'm not defending Tommy by any stretch of the imagination.
Sure. But the amount that Tommy's being attacked as opposed to the amount that Rick has some commercials pulled off TV.
It's like 4-1 Tommy. Like, for every four people who bitch about Tommy, one person's on bitching about Ric Flair. And I feel like it should almost, not necessarily almost be the other way around, but it should be a strong 3-2 Rick. Like, get this monster. Yeah. I mean, he's 70 something years old. Who gives a shit? Like, he, that's monstrous. That's preposterous. Mm-hmm. Like, and it was okay. And he didn't even get fined, nothing, a slap on the wrist. That was it, because he was a made man. Like, dude, that shit makes me sick to my stomach that he is getting, he's basically still getting a pass because he's Ric Flair, and Tommy Dreamer, since he's sticking up for him, is getting crucified more than the guy who actually did the act. And I get it that people want to attack the person sticking up for him, but I feel like it should be 60% Flair, 40% Tommy.
It should be equivalent to what was done.
Yes.
And I agree with you. And I, admittedly, you've heard me say this a million times before, I love me some Ric Flair. One of my favorite wrestlers growing up as when I was a kid. Honestly, my favorite. Warrior was my favorite.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was up there. You know, I love him to death. And as a wrestler, I still do love Ric Flair, and I always will. Mm-hmm. Okay. As a wrestler.
Yep, same.
Okay. His personal life sucked. And you can ask anybody about that. Ask anybody who's known him. They'll say that. They'll say that legitimately, you know? And whether they give the boys will be boys line, maybe or maybe not. But even like his family, ask his daughter. She's been very adamant, very open that, no, Rick was a bad father. And he's been doing work ever since then, ever since, you know, to be better. But growing up, he was a terrible father. And he admits that, too. He actually released a statement yesterday, which surprised the shit out of me. Because that's not something you usually do.
Yeah.
And he even said in the statement that his lawyers and his publicists and everybody told him not to do this. And I go, that's not something that needs any more sentences. What are you doing, Rick? And he went about it and he started to do a mea culpa and then turned it into, but that incident never happened, shtick again. Like, well, fuck me. What? You know, it's like same old PR bullshit, basic. And it's like, yeah, I know. Innocent until proven guilty. I don't want to go there. And we're also not victim shaming. Do I think this happened? Do I not? Doesn't matter. Okay. Doesn't matter. He's accused of this. Whether it was pushed under the rug or not, that's another discussion. He should pay the price. I think he will, in a manner of speaking. I don't think you're going to see him debut in AEW now.
I 100% don't think so. And I think that's probably the best thing that AEW can do.
The way that the way the cons handle their business, Tony and his father, I don't foresee them pulling him out. I mean, if they think about what they did when Sammy Guevara made the rape joke about Sasha Banks, right?
Before he was even in AEW, they took that shit super serious because it surfaced and they suspended him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were like, well, he was officially on the roster.
No, well, he made that joke before he was a part of the roster.
Right, but it came out, found out. And they're like, nope, Sammy, you're off the card for the next few months. You know, and they did the same thing with, you know, a few others as well as it's come up. They the cons don't play, and I love that about them.
Not at all. So, they play for keeps.
Now, of course, what's interesting about this whole thing is that where you haven't heard any of this at all is WWE. No, it's just like la 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 and moving on.
Yeah.
You know, they even had his daughter as part of this big storyline, and I found it interesting, switching gears a little bit here, so let's get away from a little bit, because I did read some stuff, read about Raw last night. I was intrigued because I honestly don't remember when we had this many minorities featured in a main event story arc of this caliber. What I mean by that is you have the New Day, the Bloodline, heavily advertised. Bloodline is Roman Reigns and the Usos. Heavily advertised for Monday Night Raw last night. You got three black men, three Pacific Island men, and Bobby Lashley is somehow tied to this as well. Seven minority people in your main feud. If I told you that was going to happen at a wrestling promotion, would you ever have guessed WWE remotely close to
that? 100% not. I would say every other one other than that.
everything else, mm-hmm. right? Even GCW, all the way down. They don't have a ton of black, you know, guys that wrestle there. So it is what it is. And I'm gonna give credit where credit's due. So I was legitimately intrigued, and I read a little bit about it, and they had a whole thing where they had the six-man tag to start, and then, you know, it ended with Lashley coming out and making a big scene, and then, so Lashley and Reigns and Big E, you know, they all wanted each other, so they had a triple threat at the end of the night, and that's legitimately good booking, I would say, with those talents. Finally doing some decent booking with that, mm-hmm. right? That's what you should have been doing all along. If you haven't been doing that all along, I might still be watching. The other interesting note I have from that, and there are a few things, you know, new women's tag champs, you have the obvious tag team of Rhea Ripley and Nikki, almost a superhero, are now your tag team champions. Sure. Awesome. Apparently Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler broke up and they fought each other. I don't know what's going on with that. That should have happened months ago.
Yeah.
But whatever. You had a whole confrontation between Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair. And do you remember what I said would be the perfect booking line for them to do with Alexa Bliss?
No.
Perfect booking line to do is you have Nikki on her almost superhero quest, try and get her old friend back, mm-hmm. and go to the depths of hell to bring back the 5 feet of fury Alexa Bliss, right? The original Alexa Bliss. And she finally does it. But it costs her soul, and she goes crazy, and she becomes she becomes the Nikki from like Sanity, mm-hmm. right? That's the perfect booking line. They're doing a variant of that with Charlotte. I know. There's an extra doll involved. There's a Charlotte Lily doll now called Charlie, and you know Charlotte wants to face the Alexa Bliss that was a champion and not some grown woman who played with dolls. From everything I read about it, just a little recap, just digged into how like the start of this was a decent enough idea and it just goes terribly executed.
So, oh, sounds awesome.
So I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I'm gonna end with that. So news update: WWE still sucks. But at least they're promoting, you know, a few talents that are up there. You know, there's that. Not Ricochet. He's back on main event or whatever. Oh, I saw a GIF, though, of Ricochet and Cedric Alexander.
I saw it, too.
And it was the most amazing reversal I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Go look it up.
Reversal into the Destroyer. Right. Yeah, that was sick.
Cedric's move reversed into a mid-air Canadian Destroyer. And that's on WWE main event? The fuck? Mm-hmm. All right. That's what we got, guys. I'm sorry. I'm going on tangents now, Jamie. We need to stop. So you have anything else for this?
No,
evening?
No, I'm spent.
Okay. That's a lot to go over. So we will go over Grand Slam. So join us Thursday, AEW Grand Slam. It's going to be a good time. I just know it's going to be a lot of stuff. Is there going to be some title changes? Who knows? I mean, I feel like there's going to be something big that happens each night.
I do too. I really do.
I don't know if that's I don't know if that's necessarily a title change, but it could be a title change. Could be another debut of some sort. I don't know who the fuck now, but I don't know how you're going to top any debut. There's going to be something big, I think, is going to happen. Mm-hmm. So join us for that. You know, once again, thank you for your time. We do appreciate it. Give us a comment down below. Let us know what you think about Daniel Garcia. Give us a tweet. We will be back on Thursday. And that's all we got. Jamie, take us home. All
right, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not down with Total Spot Fest, I got 3 words for you. Howlets. Let's go.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Peace.